When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 106. Today's Thursday, June 29th. Almost done with another month of the season. Pretty much at the midway point. We got a great show ahead. We're going to be looking at some June standouts, both on the positive and the negative side. And as promised, go through some fun prep for the underdog seventh inning stretch competition, which we'll get into kind of that draft format and some players that we like based on the point scoring system. Going to be a lot of fun. I'm Van Burnett, as always, joined by Steve Gisuelli. You guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I am at Van_verified. Steve is at Stav8818. Steve, you got the new digs over there. You had the, sadly, I can't say this is your first podcast in the new digs because you were joining Adam over the weekend on the wire. So, yeah, it's good to have you back, man. How's everything going out there?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's nice. I was saying on the wire, it's nice to have my own dedicated room to being able to podcast as opposed to doing it in a one-bedroom apartment where, you know, we were saying off air, just not that it sounded horrible, but, the acoustics weren't the best because, you know, my living room is my kitchen, is my next to my bedroom and bathroom. And it's all, you know, it was great. I'm sad about leaving the apartment. It was a great apartment. And I loved living that close to the city. There's a lot that I'm going to miss about it, but from wherever I go on and out, there'll be a podcast room, which is nice. That happens to be in my in-laws' basement, so all the stereotypes and cliches are true. I am playing fantasy baseball podcasting from my parents' basement. So, yeah. The cliches, the stereotypes, basically whatever you can say about me. Yeah, it's true, but hey, it's cool this to be in now,
but
right?
This was an intentional move. This was an intentional move, and, you're not being relegated to the basement and trapped down there. And you sound great, Steve. You've always had the radio voice, and now it sounds like you're ready to drop a track or something. It's clean, and I'm here for it, man.
Yeah, I love it. Anything to make the pod better, even 106 episodes in, you know?
Yeah, good fantasy vibes tonight, Steve. I benched Joe Ryan against the Braves, and he had like 100 ERA in the first inning, and now it's dialed down. But at Atlanta is always trouble. And I thought I was going to – yeah, it's still a pretty special outing for Kevin Gausman with the 12 Ks through 6. I think he's still going. And I got Gavin Williams on the mound at KC. So, yeah, I got to say, man, I'm glued to the pitching action tonight.
I traded Joe Ryan last week. So,
Gotten a text back? Somebody keep the receipts on that one?
No, I did Eloy and Joe Ryan for Trout. So Trout's sitting tonight, but so won't enjoy that. And I actually have been light on pitchers these last 2 days. It's just strange how the schedule works. So
that's how it works. Very nice. Also obligated to say that this Saturday, my home league is doing like our 13th annual road trip where we pack a little crew and travel to one of the many stadiums in the Midwest. We're going out of St. Louis. We've done it twice, but we're catching a Yankees game. We got Garrett Cole versus Matthew Liberatore. So WAF, friend of the podcast, TJ, who's often on Twitter tweeting at us and everything, TJ will be hanging out. He's got Liberatore on the mound, but should be a fun one, although we have New York-esque air quality ratings going on right now. Very hazy, so dealing with the elements you were like a month ago. We'll see how it goes for the weekend.
Yeah, I saw the Phillies Cubs game. There was talk about it being postponed. Is there fires or something going on there? Is there,
dude, it's from the wildfires in Canada.
Oh wow, so it's crazy. That's the way the wind's blowing now. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's way worse up in like Wisconsin and everything. But yeah, we're getting our air quality score, you know, 158 and stuff. But, you know, talking the metrics on the show, but we got other metrics. We got a lot to get into, and we kind of got a split here, Steve. So June standouts, talking the negative and the positive. But I think we'll save that for the back half of the show. But you guys definitely stay tuned for that, because we've got both hitters and pitchers that had remarkable Junes for better or worse. And some of those are actionable in shallow leagues. Other ones just kind of assessing where we're at pretty much midway through the season here. But then we also got to talk underdog fantasy, which not sure if anybody is joining us this week that missed last week. But Steve, why don't you give a little high-level rundown of what's going on with underdog? I know it's really fun to have a new lease on life from a fantasy standpoint now that we're midway through the season. But this seems like, you know, both this week's show and next week's show will be pretty cool content and some opportunities for us to get in the mix with any listeners who want to draft with us.
Yeah, yeah. Talked about it with Adam on the wire. It's the seventh inning stretch tournament that runs from right after the All-Star break to a few weeks after. It's like a four-round tournament, best ball tournament. So, like, you know, you win your league essentially, or place in your league, you advance to the next round. And, like, each round gets bigger and bigger and harder as far as, like, entrance and as far as, like, the league that you're in. So, you know, you have to perform better than more people each round. But it's cool because, you know, we talk about how much we love draft season, and there's the issue with draft season is that it's so short, and like once you do it, it's over. You know, it's like, all right, now we got to actually play the game. But you know, you always have an itch to draft. You know, a few of my friends just, you know, they turn on franchise mode in Madden and just draft and never actually play the game. And like, you know, we always rip at each other about that, but there's a reason that people do that, 'cause it's fun. Right. And that's what you get with this. You don't have to set any lineups. It's best ball with points. And you get the thrill of drafting in the middle of the season, which I think is awesome. And, you know, compete for, it's just $7. So yeah, I think our plan is, it's a little tricky 'cause it's not like there's, I think all drafts are like, start when the league fills, so it's not like there's a league number that you could go out there and join. Right. So we were talking off air, maybe we'll do we'll pick a date like next Wednesday, say around 6 o'clock Eastern. We'll tweet out that, hey, we're joining the open seventh inning stretch, and if anyone wants to join us, feel free. It'll be fun, for a good way to get our listeners involved. I know there were talks of a WAF listener league that fell through early in the season, but we'll definitely do that next year. I promise we'll have a proper league, but this is a way to do it.
Enough run.
Yeah. This will be a way. Yeah. We'll start that like in the off season. Like we'll get a, you know, or as soon as the season ends, we'll get like a few names and a platform and
so yeah, let me
constitution.
Let me throw out some calls to action here. If you guys want to join, or attempt to join me and Steve's underdog fantasy draft league, go out on Twitter and just DM one of us at @van_verified or at @stav8818. And we will start a little Twitter thread. Let everyone know next Wednesday when we're going to press enter in the underdog fantasy app. At that point, we'll all kind of pile in. And then as soon as that 12 team league fills up, you start the draft, and it should fill up pretty quickly because it's pretty much everyone that's in line goes into the next available, you know, group, and then the draft starts as soon as that populates. So if you want in, message us, and there's no reason not to want in, guys. It's a $7 entry, but you have a chance to win up to $30,000 for first place, but there's a lot of prizes they give out. The total prize pool is like $150,000, so a lot of fun. And a low cost of entry. And if you sign up, you can use the code PITCHERLIST, all one word, PITCHERLIST, and they will match 100% of your cash or your money deposit up to $100. So that's extra incentive to get in the mix, because they got nightly games that go on. You can, you know, do the whole daily fantasy thing where you battle one person or three, four people. But this seventh inning stretch tournament is the one that's really featured right now because it closes during the All-Star break. So this is your opportunity to kind of get in. And like Steve said, it's best ball, so you don't have to set lineups. It'll optimize to your highest scores. And it's a chance for us to throw out some banter. So get in the mix on Underdog Fantasy. And, yeah, let us know if you want in our league. Next week, what we're going to do is ideally we'll live podcast while we're drafting. So a chance for you guys to be a part of a fun show. And if it doesn't work out timing-wise, we'll still recap the show or recap the draft on the show. So it's going to be a fun little mid-season one. And in a way, kind of evaluate, you know, where we're at on, in a way, next year's draft, because we're pretty much looking at what guys we value the rest of the season. So all that to be said, the format is kind of unique, Steve. And if you guys bear with us, we're going to talk through kind of the roster makeup, the point system for the seventh inning stretch tournament. And then we'll kind of get into kind of our strategy and approach, what guys we might be targeting. But Steve, why don't you kind of walk through a little bit of the format here for the seventh inning stretch?
Yeah, so it's best ball, so it's points. For pitching, a win is 5 points, strikeout 3, earn run -3, quality start 5, innings pitch 3. For hitting, this is right up your alley because it's broken down by the type of hit. I know that's you got some unique home league settings there, so maybe you'll have an advantage over the rest of the field. But single is 3 points, double 6, triple 8, walk 3, homer 10, RBI 2, run 2, stolen base 4. And then as far as positions, this is also interesting too. It's 3 pitchers, 3 infielders, so no first, second, third, anything like that. 3 outfield, 1 flex, which I believe is just a hitter, and then 10 bench. So that's your 20 draft slots there. So it's interesting. Like,
a thing that jumps
off, yeah. The thing that jumps off the page is like innings eaters and pitchers are, I think, should be bumped up, because like the only negative is an earned run, and like, yes, that's going to hurt you if a pitcher gets shelled, but there's so many other ways for a pitcher to get points even in bad outings that might be okay. And like, since it's best ball, if there is a pitcher that, you know, goes 2 innings, gives up 6 runs and doesn't get a strikeout, like that's not going to count anyway. So that's sort of something that jumps off the page to me first, just as far as like general strategy before we get in the actual player names. And I know that's normally not something that I do, but you know, based on this format, I think pitching should get a bump.
Yeah, and I think what's also jumps out, like kind of like what you were mentioning, is whip isn't really a factor. Like no walks or hits.
Yes,
so
hits,
I think I think guys who have suppressed whips, or like, you know, a name that comes to mind is like Aaron Nola, where he usually has a little bit higher ERA but a better whip because the home run is the issue. You're not getting the value of the whip. So I think kind of home run suppression pitchers might play up a little bit, but agree there. And then when it comes to the scoring for the hitters, what jumps out at me is like, yeah, like you mentioned, I have the singles, doubles, triples, but the fact that triples are only 8 when really like three bases or 3 singles would be 9, right? So like triples don't have a huge value, because in my like weekly, a triple is sent from the heavens, because if you get like 1 or 2 triples, you win the category. But here, I think what stands out the most is that there's no deduction for strikeouts, but a home run, because a home run by itself is 10, but also you get the RBI and the run. So a home run play is 14 points. And most guys who hit home runs tend to get doubles, not as many like triples. But when you look at steals being just 4 points, basically when you look at that next to a 14-point home run, you'd have to have like, you know, more than 3 steals for each home run. So I think, you know, it's kind of elementary analysis, but my approach will probably be targeting the sluggers, who will probably get homers and could get doubles as well, which is solid at the 6-point clip there. They tend to walk as well, and there's no deduction for strikeouts or batting average, really. Like, there's no subtraction by plate appearance. So you know, when I was pulling this, Steve, and I dropped a link in on trying to mimic this on like an auction calculator. Through FanGraphs, and one of like the top hitters that popped up on that list was Matt Olson, and I really like that one because
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, Olson's going to get a lot of plate appearances with the Braves.
Strike out a lot, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the strikeouts don't dock you. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, because we're going to be in the same draft room, so we're kind of sharing the strategy. But yeah, that those are some early things that like stood out. I don't know if you have anything else to add before we fully get into the guys, but I feel like we could talk strategy a little bit high level and then talk about some names that are bubbling up as some targets here.
No, that makes sense to me. I think it's, you know, like a guy like Max Muncy, I think, should be bumped up too, right? Like, you know, even Joey Gallo. You know, you just want sort of home runs. And as far as pitching goes, I think you want guys that are going to pitch a lot. Like, and not necessarily the strike. Like, strikeouts are only 3 points. It's the same as an inning pitched. Like, you know, sure, it's great to get an inning pitch with three strikeouts, but if you're getting, you know, a guy that throws a lot of innings, gets a win, that's helpful.
Yeah, the wins so and quality starts. Yeah, that doubles up as like a 10-point outing. So
Who cares? You know, wins, quality starts, if it goes six innings with two strikeouts, like, still a massive night, you know. So I like that too. And then as far as like best ball and the fact that it's a tournament round, you know, you kind of want a guy that could get really, really hot at a point too, right? Like, if I was telling Adam when we were talking about this on the Wire, like, if you had Christopher Morel for his Christopher Morel streak, like, you are going to advance and win that round. So maybe some more volatile players are a smart play too. Since it's best ball, like, if you have Christopher Morel during his cold streak, like, all right, yeah, he's just going to be on your bench that week, which stinks, but hopefully you get a hot streak from someone else who can go nuclear.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about, in a way, kind of the cherry bombs. So I know when I plugged in the points on the auction calculator for the pitchers, Blake Snell, who we'll talk about throughout this show, having a fantastic little earlier than last year breakout into second half form here, but Snell was actually fifth on this list for dollar values on the auction calculator. And Snell's also one that every person who's been a manager for Snell knows that he has some of those blow-ups every now and then, but it might not hurt you as much because you're not stuck with those ratios. So yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, I think it's a great call.
Well, getting into some of the specific targets, just since we have the list up, on hitters, no real surprise, but Acuna and Tatis really stood out as like the top hitters on this auction calculator. Then there was a huge drop down to Jose Ramirez was third, Julio Rodriguez, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. Again, they score the walks in there as well, so you can almost look at it as like an OBP or an OPS league because of the fact that doubles and triples and homers all kind of roll up on, you know, you get more points for a triple than a single. So some of the OPS guys will be high on here. But yeah, Pete Alonso, Austin Riley are up there. Matt Olson, again, like we mentioned. But those are some of the targets, more or less, on the hitter side. I thought it was interesting that Christian Walker and Ty France were both top 25 hitters on this list as well. Actually, that I think that's just for infield. But nonetheless, if you have a 12 team and you have to get three infielders, yeah, those were names that I found kind of interesting. And it makes sense with Walker as well, and he's been a guy who's been on fire as of late too, and he can go through cold spells, so that could be a good best ball one. And then on the pitcher side, probably the one that surprised me the most, Steve, was Framber Valdez
Talk about an inning eater that gets you wins, right? Like, and he throws in strikeouts too. Like, he's kind of a cheat code for this format.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So Valdez, he's going to get wins, quality starts. He was the number one. And then behind him were some usual suspects with Spencer Strider, Garrett Cole. But then Luis Castillo, Blake Snell. And you got Otani, Aaron Nola, Corbin Burns, Dylan Cease, Shane McClanahan. So this is all based on projections. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that were like a little bit interesting. Kodai Senga was 23rd.
Strikeout upside. Yeah, that's more of a strikeout play. So yeah. There's different way, you know, there's different ways to sort of squeeze out value here. But just looking at the points format, that kind of, I'm not surprised that Valdez was the number one pitcher.
Yeah, I think to keep talking strategy a little bit, at least according to the auction calculator, there is a pretty big drop-off on pitcher value after the top 10. Mm-hmm. So pretty much ending around Dylan Cease and Shane McClanahan, you kind of want one of those guys, yeah, at least according to this is punched out. It's going to be interesting. And I think, Steve, this is the first time we'll ever be in a draft against each other. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
With the exception of, like, the pitcher list, two early mock drafts.
Yes.
Because we did have sniping of one another. Yeah.
But, you know, that's
exhibition.
Yeah. This is actually going to count. So, yeah, it'll be fun. Regardless, you know, I'm hoping that we're able to figure it out and everyone could join the same league. But... Yeah, we'll be online looking at each other and pressing enter at the same time. So we should get in the same one. So at least we'll have that. But hopefully we can get the listeners involved too.
Well, get in the mix, guys. Again, for next steps, I mean, obviously download Underdog Fantasy. You got to do the money deposit. But if you use that code PITCHERLIST, all one word, then they match your deposit, which is nice. And then to get in our league for the seventh inning stretch, just direct message either myself or Steve. Again, that's at @van_verified or at @stav8818. And we'll get you in the group thread before we all press enter and get in the league format. So we're going to do our best to do that. And then we'll do some show content from it. It'll be a lot of fun. But yes, that's Underdog Fantasy. Super excited. And we'll try to put that show out next week if everything goes smoothly. And the draft will be on Wednesday, July 5th. So just talking through some disclaimers for that. You must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. So that wraps us, Steve, for Underdog Fantasy, unless you got any closing thoughts there.
No, excited. Hopefully we're all able to do this together. This is a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to do – I might do one as a prep, too, before, just to
get one
under the belt. But I don't know. Don't want to spill too much of the beans. But, it's great. It's – a super, super cool tournament. Super, I'm honored to be able to promote it, and it's cool that it's something that I actually am very interested to. So it's not like we're sitting here having to talk about a league that we don't want to play. It's a really, really cool thing to be a part of, and I'm pumped to do them.
Hey, make me a promise, Steve.
Sure.
If you win the $30,000, will you take me to a baseball game someday?
Yes, absolutely. I will. Yeah, it'll be all paid expense fare to wherever you want to go, to your home league trip. You know, it'll be sponsored by your podcast partner if that
That's
happens.
That's great. That's great. Okay, guys, we got June standouts, talking hitters and pitchers that had notable months, for better or worse. First, we're going to take an ad break, and we'll be right back.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
All right, so Steve, break it down here. I mean, just lay the land. Here we are in June. It's about that time of year where you can look at stats and pretty much just times two them, and that's the pace for the season line. But June's kind of an interesting month, man. A lot of the names on this list, at least when I look at it, it's names that, you know, the storyline is changing throughout the year. And it's just kind of a reminder that it's not always, you know, that April's exactly that. It's 1 month, and, you know, a lot of guys can get hot in the summer or they can cool off. But what were your thoughts when you were kind of putting together the rundown here?
Yeah, that kind of exactly right. Like, guys that you thought are going to have different seasons or better seasons kind of get written off, and then, oh, June happens. Blake Snell's kind of the poster boy for that this month. But, you know, the stat lines don't change as much, so it's hard to see, wow, this could, it's the first month where you can say, like, wow, this really is a crazy month that this guy had, because their overall lines might not reflect how good they've been. Now that, you know, you have 2 months under your belt before that. So I think it's a good time to take a look at a month and a decent sample size. It's not like April where there's a bunch of rainouts or, you know, whatever, a shorter game sample. It's a full proper month in summer that, you know, that should be warm. So there's not many, you know, weather concerns or like, oh, you know, this guy played in Detroit in April and May where it was really cold. It's a solid sample, essentially, is kind of what I'm saying. So I like looking back at this month and then kind of surprised at some of these names that came up, just because there are some guys that I didn't realize had this good a month or this bad a month.
No, I mean, without further ado, jumping into some of the positive stories on the offensive side, Eddie Rosario is use case one, Steve, for me not realizing just how hot he was. I knew for the Braves it was kind of clicking into place, and it felt like one of those patented hot stretches for Eddie Rosario. But, man, it's been a while since we've seen him put a month together with an 1168 OPS, a 342 average, taking plenty of walks as well. And yeah, Rosario was one that just out of the gate was a little surprising to me. But I don't know, you know, with the 8 homers, I certainly wouldn't count on that pace for Rosario. But certainly when you look at what he's doing night in, night out right now in that offense, this is one that probably should be rostered a little bit more than 61%. But what are your thoughts on Rosario?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, this is the kind of player that he is, right? Like, he has these sort of streaky months, right? Like, even when he was in Minnesota, there was months where he went absolutely off after kind of having middling lines, and that put together, like, that's what led to the standard Eddie Rosario of, like, 255, 28, and, yeah, you know, decent counting stats. It wasn't that across the 6 months of the season. It was a month of hitting 200, then a month of having a 208 WRC plus like he has now. You know, the strikeout rate is just 21% right for this month, walking 13% of the time. So the plate skills are good. He's seeing the ball well. And he did have another eye procedure in the off season. So maybe that took some time getting used to. And, you know, he's had these sort of, I think, vision issues in the past, and that's led to slumps, and then when he got it right, it's led to stretches like this. So I definitely think that, like, we could see something closer to the 2019 season where he had 32 home runs, or at least the 2018 season where he had 24, hit 288, and had a 114 WRC plus for the season. He's at 119 right now, so which would be the best of his career. I really think that he should be rostered in a lot more leagues, because sure, there might be a downstretch, but there's a lot good. There's more good going on here than there basically ever has been in Rosario's career. It's the best hard hit rate of his career, best max EV. There's definitely some regression off this 208 WRC plus, but not enough that he shouldn't be rostered, I think, basically in all formats.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the barrel rate looks great at the 11.4%.
Also best of his career, yeah.
Yeah, there's a platoon element where he sits against lefties, but he also, you know, he's actually played 22 games against lefties. It's just usually a pinch hit appearance or two. But yeah, when you look at his splits, I mean, that's obviously for a reason, where he career-wise is a much better hitter against righties, but this season against lefties he has hit .414. So I don't know that, like, if they're riding the hot hand, I could see them, you know, giving him some shots in some of these games. And it, you know, in the past week or two, he's pinch hit multiple times when he has been scratched. So yeah, I like it for Rosario, and if nothing else, just ride the hot hand until it cools off. I know it's kind of a crowded roster there with Ozuna and everything, but yeah, it's the one of the best two or three offenses in the league. So yeah, Rosario, great month of June. Moving on to the next one here, Corey Seager with a 200 WRC plus. He's really clicking in with the Rangers. Ketel Marte with a 193 WRC plus, and Gunnar Henderson with a 192 WRC plus. So looking at these three guys, Steve, Seager, who we loved coming into the season, Ketel Marte, who's very much kind of that bounce back sleeper, drafted kind of deeper in drafts. And I want to say Marte, did he start cold as well? But he's definitely coming
around. Not great, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Gunnar, who certainly not too many people started colder than Gunnar Henderson. He was dropped in a lot of leagues, and he's put together a great month of June. So, any one of these guys that we want to kind of punch in on.
Seager just has to stay healthy, right? Like, this is everything that we always envisioned from him, especially with the shift rules. That's why we liked him so much. He's had flashes of this before. After that brutal start with Texas last year, like, he still hit 33 home runs, where he was like a drop candidate in the beginning of the year last year, and he was on fire, and he still finished with just a 772 OPS, right? And think of Seager of more of a 900 OPS guy, even if he isn't like a 30 home run hitter.
Yeah.
But he's now sort of putting that together. I know he missed a good amount of time with that hamstring injury, but, you know, 10 homers in 215 plate appearances is like exactly a 30 homer pace. So it's pairing the amazing batting average and quality of contact skills with some more power. Don't be fooled by the fact that he has just 10 home runs. Everything is coming together. Like, he's walking more, he's striking out a little bit more, but in like 17.2% of the time is still really, really good. Another guy that's having the best quality contracts of his skills of his career, with hard hit percentage, barrel rate. It's all coming together. He just has to stay healthy, which has been an issue for Seager in the past, but, you know, hopefully he's got the one IL stint out of the way this year with that hamstring injury. He is like cementing himself as like one of the top fantasy players that I thought he was going to become after like his 2017-2016 season, where he was like a 300 hitter with good power that would grow into it. And it looks like he's finally growing into that power after the 33 homers this year, and then already 10 so far in just the 47 games. So I absolutely love Corey Seager. I think that he kind of could like squeak into that middle second round with how good he's going.
I was going to ask, because I know we love Ellie. That's another guy who's had an insane June. We're not talking about him on the show today because we've talked about him so much, but Ellie De La Cruz or Corey Seager in your shortstop rankings, who do you like rest of the season more? 5x5.
I'd probably go Ellie because of the steals.
Okay. Wow. Man, that's tough with Seager hitting 344 on the season, man. I don't know. I answered that too quickly.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, that goes to show, though, what the manager is probably thinking. Like, I know Ellie, some of the underlying say he's going to come back to earth a little bit, but he still has that, like, Tatis-level tools. So, yeah, you could probably do a little challenge trade like that. I wanted to just note Ketel Marte, Steve, because I feel like everyone, you know, was so in on Marte 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's obviously slipped in recent years. But now, on the season, even with, you know, kind of the splits weren't great. Like, in April, he had a 781 OPS, which was solid, but just 4 walks, 16 strikeouts. And then in May, he turned it on a little bit with an 865 OPS. And in that month, he had 11 walks and 20 strikeouts. But in the month of June, he has 17 walks and just 14 strikeouts. So more walks and strikeouts, and he has a 1086 OPS in June with 6 home runs. Now his season line is 14 homers, 6 steals, hitting 294 with an 891 OPS. And I'm just wondering for Marte, like with the D-backs, you know, winning that division right, or leading that division right now, all of his underlying stuff looks as good as it really ever has. You know, the barrel rate right now at a 9.8% is a career high. The strikeout rate is as low as it's been in like 4 years. So just want to give a shout out to Marte, because I feel like a lot of people had kind of moved on from what used to be an industry favorite. And it is, you know, you're riding it to the bank if you got Marte in the mid late 100s.
I think this is another, you know, just stay healthy sort of
For sure.
Player, right? Like, especially in 2021, Marte was having an awesome season. He was at 909 OPS, 140 WRC plus with 14 homers in 90 games, and then was got hurt. Mm-hmm. 2022 was a short season. It was a little disappointing, but sure, it was just a 45-game sample. He only had 2 home runs in the shortened season. And that was coming off of like his breakout year when he had 32 homers in 2019, rabbit ball aside. But, you know, he had 330 with a 981 OPS and like looked to establish himself as like a fantasy superstar. And it's just been a matter of staying healthy. It was clear that he played 137 games last year, but it felt like he was on the IL a few times and banged up and just wasn't himself. And now that he's fully healthy, he's back to sort of doing what we expected, which is, you know, a good regression off of that, 150 WRC plus he put up in 2019. But hell, you'll take the 139 with the 14 homers in 73 games. Like, he's stolen sick bases too, which is, yes, you know, kind of been a question. Like, he's always had speed but didn't run. Even in 2019, he only had the 10 stolen bases. So, you know, it looks like he's back on pace for that. Yeah. Like, this is what we envisioned after that breakout in 2019. It took a while to get there, but it goes to show, like, you can't just write off these players like that. I mean, looking like Marte is going to be one of the biggest steals of draft day this year, because he was more than just a mid to late round flyer. Like, he was like, or the early mid rounds, he was more mid to late, which mm-hmm. is going to be a really, really good deal, especially at like second base. I think he should have second base outfield maybe in some position in some leagues. I don't know if he played the outfield at all last year like he used to, but
yeah, I think just second.
Just second,
year.
But still, hey, that's a shallow position. So yeah, it looks like he hasn't really played. He played some short in like 2020, but not much.
But with that offense too clicking, like right now he's on pace for what, 116 runs scored.
He had 71 games, or he had 71 games in 2020. He's had 2 in 2023. I'm trying to see if he had any last year. No, it looked like it was just second base last year. But still, hey, 3 more appearances in some leagues, and maybe he'll get some.
Yeah, for sure. So Marte, definitely a good one there. And, yeah, he should probably eclipse his career high of 11 steals in a season this year.
I think so.
Shout out to those guys. Gunner as well is great. Let's talk about these last three kind of younger guys here with Jordan Walker, who's got a 170 WRC plus You know, obviously getting called back up with the Cardinals and has looked good. Another hit streak going on for Jordan Walker. And then Michael Harris, the second, who I believe has a homer, if not two, tonight. Let me double check that. We're recording on Tuesday. He's got a homer. He's one of the guys who hit one off Joe Ryan. But Michael Harris is on fire the last couple weeks in 1134 OPS. So really nice bounce back for another guy who, surprisingly, in some leagues, people were considering moving on. And then Mr. Lane Thomas, Steve, he was one that we talked about early on in the season as kind of a add and see what happens. And, yeah, he's been excellent lately, a 167 OPS in the month of June. But in the past couple weeks, five homers for Lane Thomas, and he's hitting 375 in that time. The plate discipline is not really anything to write home about with Thomas in that past couple weeks. He's got 16 strikeouts to just one walk. But looks really good for Lane Thomas, potentially someone that could be traded away with what the Nationals are doing. So there could be some nice value there, although it's also nice having him lead off. So out of the rest of these guys, Jordan Walker, Michael Harris, Lane Thomas, anyone that you would want to zoom in on here?
I wish I was more aggressive on all three. Thomas or Walker and Harris were great buy lows, I think. And those windows have promptly shut. Lame Thomas, I wish I was a little bit more aggressive in adding. I did add him in a league that a keeper league that I'm kind of rebuilding in. So maybe it'll be a nice piece to trade away there. But yeah, I mean, despite the plate discipline, like, he's hitting for a good average. Sure, it looks like that should regress based on like the X stats and the BABIPs that he's the BABIP that he's running right now. I think it was, I think it's like 330 or something like that, which I guess isn't too high. But 397 for the month of June. So yeah, that should come down. But I mean, he's speedy. He's chips in a steal and has decent pop. Like, again, this is another guy that, like, this is why Lane Thomas was a popular late round dart last year. This is exactly what we expected, probably more. I think there's definitely going to be some batting average regression, and selfishly I kind of hope he stays in Washington. It's a great place to hit, especially as it gets warmer. And leading off would be nice, but hey, maybe if you can get into a better lineup, he'll get some more runs. But he does have 53 already, so yeah, you're driving yourself 14 times and lead off, even for the Nationals, you're going to score some runs.
Yeah, the other one I wanted to note, because, yeah, great points on Thomas. Jordan Walker had a 16-game hitting streak after the 12-game hitting streak to start his career before getting sent down to work on the launch angle. The irony, Steve, is he has four homers in June, and his launch angle has actually gone down month over month, so I guess it just, you throw your arms up and say, like, you know, what do we know to some extent? He now has a 2-degree launch angle, but four homers this month, which I think the Cards would be, you know, doing just fine with what he's done compared to what everyone else is doing. So, yeah, on the season for Walker, now batting 302 with an 841 OPS, six homers and three steals for Walker in just 39 games. So, if you ignore the noise, I think you're really happy with the production there. Moving on to some of the hitters who have had some slumps here in June, Steve. Going through the list, we got Rowdy Tellez, Giancarlo Stanton, Nolan Gorman, who is one of those where we thought he was, you know, never going to look back. Saya Suzuki is another one who you and I have talked about on the show as a nice kind of buy low, but he struggled in June. Lourdes Gurriel, who you kind of felt like it was bound to come down a little bit, but it has come down quite a bit. And then Anthony Rizzo, Miguel Vargas, both struggling in June as well. So across these names, anyone you want to highlight, Steve, in particular?
Yeah, so a lot of these guys are really streaky. It's just you hope that their downswings aren't this bad. Like, I remember Rowdy Tellez last year, like, I dropped him at a certain point and regretted it, but I don't know if he was, you know, what is this? I think it's like two runs in 82 plate appearances in June. That's absolutely crazy. An 064 ISO with a 220 BABIP, 167 average. Like, you know, there were stretches, but I guess when Rowdy isn't homering, he's really not doing much.
Uh-huh.
You got to think some of these guys would turn it around. I think all of them are better than what their Junes are.
They're kind of good examples for the right? underdog fantasy. Like Rowdy hits his homers in bunches. Nolan Gorman hits his homers in bunches. Like these are the guys that could go off for sure, but you got to hold your nose for months like this.
With Saya Suzuki and Gurriel, there might be injury. I know Gurriel missed like a week. I don't think he went on the IL. Suzuki started the season late. I think he's a little banged up. Rizzo, who knows there? The Yankees just look absolutely lost. I think there was a tweet that I saw that the Yankees as a team have like the worst OPS as a team in June, or WRC plus as a team in June, which is absolutely crazy. Vargas's quality contact is just not there yet. As much as you and I both loved him, he's just not hitting the ball that hard despite having that plate discipline. So maybe it'll take a little while from there, but you know, guys like Stanton, Tellez, Gorman, I think there's going to be months where they you know, pop 8 to 10 homers. So we saw it earlier with Gorman, so it's definitely doable. It just looks like those guys, you know, have holes in their swings that they need to work to cover up and adjust back, and that sometimes takes a little while and leads to a month like June that they had.
Yeah, if you're looking at this list, Steve, I mean, who do you feel the most confident about kind of bouncing back and putting close to what you expect for the rest of the way? I mean, I know we already saw it with Gorman. Rowdy last year went through these spells. I've got some confidence in Suzuki as a hitter. I think when I look at the list, those three probably stand out with Tellez, Gorman, and Suzuki. I guess you could make the same argument with Stanton. Maybe I'm just kind of writing him off because of the age, the health risks, the Yankees in general. But what are your thoughts
and
on
Stanton? Could figure it out and then get hurt again. So I'd probably go those three too.
Yeah,
I'd probably go Gorman, Saya Suzuki, Rowdy, then Stanton.
Yeah.
Gurriel, I'm worried about the injury because it sort of coincided exactly with when his production dropped off a little bit. I'm wondering if he's still hurt.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, so let's shift gears to the pitchers that had standout Junes. We'll talk through the positive and negative players on this rundown as well. We're going to take our second ad break. We'll be right back. Okay, so Steve, let's do these kind of in a bite-sized fashion again on the positives. So the first grouping we have is Yuri Perez, my goodness, for a player who, is he 20 years old? Is just completely
20, yeah.
Carving up opponents. And I think they did just announce that they are going to do, as expected, give him an extra break around the All-Star break so that he can maximize like a two-week rest there to control innings. But Yuri Perez, high on this list for the month of June. Blake Snell as well in the month of June has been completely lights out for a guy who kind of waited until, I guess, All-Star break last year to turn it around. He did it a month sooner this year, which should be great for the people who invested around pick 120. And then Braxton Garrett, holy smokes. What we've seen from him with swing and miss stuff, what we're hoping to see is him go a little bit deeper into games, and he has done that recently. And now you kind of look at Garrett and just wonder, like, what's the ceiling for a guy who's striking out batters at the clip that he's going, and on top of that, actually going into, like, the seventh inning of games. His most recent outing, granted, against the Pirates, 13 strikeouts over seven innings, just two earned runs there, just one earned run. So, Braxton Garrett, Yuri Perez, Blake Snell. Talk to me, Steve. What do we think? Was it a flash in the pan, or is this breakouts for the rest of the season for these guys?
Top three in K-minus BB for those three for the month of June. Blake Snell has a 40.7 K-minus BB. It comes with a 47.3 strikeout rate. He's still walking guys at a 6.6% clip, but that's kind of what Blake Snell does. He walks with a handful of guys, but
yeah, it's not terrible.
Striking out almost half the batters that he faces, that's insane. Braxton Garrett not too far behind at 39.1%, striking out 41.4% of the batters that he's faced. With Garrett, there was a clear pitch mix change. He, you know, I believe started throwing the cutter more and the sinker, giving him, you know, two fastball options. That's always been his issue. He is not a great fastball guy, and the slider is absolutely amazing. That's what always led to the K's. And when you sort of figure out that primary pitch and the fastball, and looks like he did with, like, you know, that you know, Corbin Burns blueprint of mixing in cutters with the sinker for your primary fastballs. It did him a lot of good. Blake Snell, I believe there's a pitch mix change.
Are you ready for this one?
That's your boy. So yeah.
Snell's biggest pitch mix change up from May to June is ramping up the change up from 16% to 25%. So for all the jokes we've made, he's kind of figuring it out here, and it's getting results. Dude, video game numbers, a 50% whiff rate with the changeup in the month of June, a 73% whiff rate with the curveball in the month of June, and a 66% whiff rate on the slider in June. So, yeah, that's
what he must be having such a good time with that, because everyone was yelling at him, as you know, everyone at Pitcherless. I know Nick, too, like Nick Pollock was begging him to ditch the changeup, and it's amazing that it's become the pitch that it has, and he must be having such a laugh with that.
Yeah.
Just due to the fact that everyone begged him to stop throwing it, and now it's just dominating.
His past three outings, 11 Ks in San Francisco, 12 Ks at home against Tampa Bay, and then 12 Ks in Coors. So, yeah, Snell is on fire. And now, like, when you look at the season line, a 3.22 ERA, the whip is still rough at 1.23. So maybe, again, that kind of underlines why Snell could be a nice target for the underdog, which they had him up there, is you don't have to deal with the inflated whip like you were talking about, because it's been since his Cy Young season that he's had a whip under 1.2. So that's always kind of a pain point, but the Ks per inning is always up there, and the Padres, at least on paper, should help him get wins as well, so... it's just nice to see him going deep into games.
People were dropping Snell too, right? At the beginning of the year, like, it was that bad.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I'm looking at the splits.
Yeah, now. April he had a 5.30 ERA with a 1.93 WHIP, and his first start in March was brutal as well, where he had gave up three earned in four innings, didn't even make it through the fifth. So, that's. You know, I was in, Steve. I've got some shares of Snell. It's not a full victory lap by any stretch, but I think where he was going at the draft, it's a good reminder of, like, upside isn't always a first or second year pitcher. Like, some of these guys who have flashed it in the past, it can kind of click in and look good for him. So, who is the other one on this list then?
Yuri.
Oh gosh, yeah, Yuri. I mean, what can be said? I guess the biggest question mark is how much we'll see him the rest of the way with just, like, the innings limit and everything. But, yeah, this – how tall is he again? Isn't he, like, 6'8"? Yeah. 6'8". Holy smokes, man. This guy is probably going to be a number one overall starting pitcher, like, within the next 2 or 3 years if he keeps this up. At this rate, he's got – 47 innings of a 1.34 ERA and a 0.98 WHIP. In terms of the pitch mix, like the slider has a 43% WHIP rate. He uses it 28% of the time, and the average velocity on the fastball is 97.5. So, what can be said, man? It kind of feels like Hunter Green, but without the volatility. I guess the walks are still a little bit of a question mark at 8.1%, but it's not bad.
Not really. That's, like, above the league average. I think it's just a question of the innings, and I think the Marlins are going to do everything they can to have him available throughout the season. If that means missing a start before and after the All-Star break sort of thing, that's totally fine. Like,
yeah, because they're in the hunt, right?
They're in the hunt, and making the playoffs is a big deal for them. Like, remember when they like won a round? I'm sure you do, because I think they beat the Cubs in the shortened season. It wasn't the Cardinals for some reason? I thought they beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But you know, that was a big deal for them. So
yeah, they're in the wild.
They're going to want to have Yuri Perez available one way or the other throughout the rest of the season. Like, you know, we heard it last year with Spencer Strider, right? Like, oh, he's going to get shut down. And he just never did. Like, oh, he's at X amount of innings over than he's ever thrown. Oh, he's now at 20. He's at 30. Like, it just didn't matter. Like, they just used him. Like, if Perez is this good, they're going to use him, and they're going to blow past any restriction that you think you have in mind. Not like 100 innings over, but, you know, 30 or so, they're not going to care.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be pushing, since right now they're one game up in the wild card race. I know it's super early, but I'm just looking at this team makeup, man, and it's like Edward Cabrera on the IL, Trevor Rogers on the IL. Like, I wonder if they're going to try to upgrade at the deadline and deal an arm for another bat. I
mean, they've needed a pitcher, a hitter for a pitcher for the last 5 years, it seems, and that's including trading Zach Allen for Jazz Chisholm.
Let's get a little Cardinals Marlins trade. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it seems like there's got to be a fit there somewhere. So yeah, that's the first batch there: Yuri Perez, Blake Snell, Braxton Garrett. The second grouping here: Dylan Cease, your boy Steve. I know not as many shares this year because the price went up. But it's nice to see him bouncing back after a lot of people were kind of...
He's fully back, yeah.
Yes, a lot of people were kind of saying, told you so, and he looks like, you know, electric Dylan Cease. Although, in defense of Nick Pollock, because I know that's kind of a subtweet at Nick, because he's always out on Cease. He was pretty early on this season saying, I think now I'm in on Dylan Cease as a buy low, because it won't be this bad, and it turned around quickly. Ranger Suarez, another one of Nick's favorites. Note the sarcasm, is putting together a really good string of games as well. And, you know, contrary to what we've seen in the past, he's actually getting the strikeouts too, where in the past month, I think he's over a strikeout per inning. He's had a couple really good outings, but at the start of June, had 7 innings, just 3 Ks. But yeah, he's the last couple outings, 14 Ks and 13 innings for Ranger Suarez. And then Reed Detmers is another one that was a darling in the draft rooms at the start of the year and then dropped by a lot of people. And in the past month, 36 strikeouts over 31 innings, a 2.05 ERA and a 0.91 whip for Reed Detmers, including probably his best start of the season a few nights ago against the White Sox with 10 strikeouts over 7 innings. And just one earned run there on a Luis Robert homer, who is also on fire in June. So Dylan Cease, Ranger Suarez, Reed Detmers, Steve, they're all very different in terms of kind of valuation at the start of the year. But talk to me about these guys, which one you want to zoom in on.
For Cease and Detmers, I think that it's a good case study for buy lows. Like, the whiffs are still there. The strikeouts were still there. And it looked like, you know, it's easy to see in 2020 in hindsight. It's 2020, but you know, they're good examples for pitchers that you should be buying. Suarez, it's nice to see. Never a guy that I love. I know that you were more in on him last year, and it didn't really come together. But it's starting to look like 2021 Suarez, which was a really, really good fantasy pitcher. If he's out there anywhere, I would absolutely scoop him up. But I don't think he is after this June that he's had, especially now with more of a track record, because it's easier to believe with the 2021 that he had.
Yeah, Suarez just rostered in 48% of leagues, and then Detmers is still out there as well in just 57% of leagues he's rostered. Obviously, Cease is rostered everywhere. But yeah, Detmers and Suarez, what are your thoughts between those two? Because Detmers has that whole, you know, six-man rotation issue but he's definitely got the strikeouts compared to Suarez. Do we still lean Detmers on that, even with the
volume? I think I would, just because I'm a sucker for strikeouts. But I guess it depends. Like, in the roto, I feel like you need ratios. Like, Detmers is more prone to a blow-up, I think, than Suarez is. So,
yeah.
Case by case, but I would slightly lean Detmers because of the case.
Yep, season line now. Rangers Suarez, a 3.08 ERA, 47 Ks in 49 innings, and 1.17 whip. So you're right, Steve, because Detmers, you're giving up some of the whip there. He's got a 1.28 mm-hmm. whip on the season, a 3.77 ERA. He's had some blow-ups there. But the Ks, 76 in a third innings, 94 strikeouts for Detmers. So at age 23, I mean, I think we're still, you know, I'm right back in. I'm right back in, man. Like, I loved him at the start of the year, and now that, like, he's pairing it all together with the run prevention, the slider is still a terrific pitch for Detmers. So, yeah, I'm excited about Detmers. I think his next one, who's he got next? Don't have it right in front of me, but yeah, I think Detmers is a little under-rostered at 57%. I think you could say the same for Suarez, but would you say that's a fair statement?
Yes. Yes, they should be rostered in more leagues than they currently are. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Love it. Well, flipping to the negative side here, some rough June months. No surprise, Adam Wainwright. The real surprise is that the Cardinals are still pretending to compete by rolling him out. I know that there's a lot of respect on his name with the organization, but yeah, the last month, a 6.75 ERA and about 4 Ks per 9 for Adam Wainwright. Severino, yeah, you could probably speak to it better, Steve, but it has not been good for Severino. I know he just had a nice outing the other night against the Rangers of all teams, where it looked good on the surface, but I don't think any of the swing and miss was still there. And yeah, it just looks a little lost for Severino. He's had some rough blow-ups in that time at the Mets and at the Dodgers as well. Chris Bassett, Pablo Lopez, Tanner Bibee, and Corbin Burns round out the pitchers who have struggled in June. The floor is yours, Steve, on any of these guys that you kind of want to break down, and we can see if there's buy low opportunities or if we're running away from it.
Yes. Speaking of Severino, it's just concerning because the velocity has been up and down. The stuff just hasn't been what you expect. Like, there's been flashes of it, but nothing consistent. No, nothing consistent enough that has made me really look for to trade for him as a buy low. But for Lopez and Burns, I think they are. Burns more on just, you just got to close your eyes and believe that Corbin Burns will be Corbin Burns. For Pablo Lopez, I think, you know, there's a nice little on the Fangraphs leaderboard, the splits leaderboard, there's like a E minus F column. It's ERA minus FIP. So, like, if you have an high ERA and a low FIP, the larger the number, the better it is. Lopez has a 504. Pablo Lopez has a 504 ERA this month, a 191 FIP. I know that's not everything, but, you know, he's striking out 30% of the batters he's facing, walking only 5. It's a 54.6% left on base percentage with a 358 BABIP in the month of June. Like, he has just been criminally unlucky. So I really like Pablo Lopez as a buy low. I know he started off absolutely amazing and has been okay here and there. There's been some decent starts with, you know, he's had 10 strikeouts but giving up 4 runs sort of thing, you know. Stuff like that. So, and this is kind of like I know everyone loves Pablo Lopez and think that he's breaking a corner and he starts out super hot, then has a slump. But I think that this might be just who he is. And the fact that he's striking out more batters than he ever has this year at 30.1%, like, it reminds me a lot of like Blake Snell kind of thing. Like, maybe he's going to be a 3.70 ERA pitcher.
Yeah.
But if that comes with 30% strikeouts as opposed to the 24% that he had last year, it's really much more interesting for fantasy purposes. So I like him better this year with the 4.41 ERA than I did last year with the 3.75, because there's a 7% uptick in strikeouts. I think Pablo Lopez is a great buy.
Yeah, most of the damage comes on the four-seamer where the velocity is up this season, where he's sitting at like 95 instead of 93. But that's where most of like the big damage is done on like the slugging percentage. Was just checking on his pitcherless page. Yeah, it seems to be kind of like location-based. Like he doesn't locate it high very well. I don't know. I mean, it's always been the pitch that's he's had issues with. Obviously, it's his most leaned on pitch, but you know, there's guys out there who throw their fastball at 60%, 70% clips, and he throws it just 35% of the time. So it's almost like you could see a path to it being, you know, to that improving, because every one of his like breaking pitches and the changeup has like a slugging percentage that's, mm-hmm. you know, or a batting average under 200. So yeah, you could see the path forward, and you know, this is a buy low, but you're still gonna have to pay a little bit because, you know, his last three outings, 9 Ks, 9 Ks, 10 Ks. That said, I think that I totally agree that it's a good buy low, and the Marlins, or I'm sorry, the Twins, let him go deep into games. Just looking at some pitchers around him when it comes to like trade targets. One second here. Yeah, so right now on the list, he is SP15 for Nick.
That's like, pretty high.
Yeah, that is high, but I don't think that's where managers would have him. Some names behind him that could get the deal done, possibly, like Joe Musgrove, who's turning it around a little bit, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, maybe not as much, just because mainly the underlying stuff is what's got him up there. What about Blake Snell, for how hot he's been? Blake Snell and Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, they're really similar. I think I'd lean Snell, but it's close. And it's probably more of a guy that you would trade a hitter for, I would think, right?
Yeah, based on team need. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, looking at the rest of the list, maybe like Tanner Bibee. Like, do we need to talk about what's going on here with the Guardians? Because Gavin Williams up tonight is obviously against the Royals, but yeah, he's dealing. It looks like, six strikeouts and six innings, no earned runs, a .33 WHIP right now for Gavin Williams. We just know that's a crowded rotation. Cal Quantrill's going to come back. For Bibee, yeah, his most recent outing was, well, I guess that one was good against the Brewers. Before that, he got a couple of rough starts with the Diamondbacks, who have been good, and then the Padres lit him up for six earned runs in four innings. So not too bad, I don't think. I mean, June as a month, he had a 5.04 ERA, but if that's kind of as ugly as it gets, I don't think he should still stay in that rotation the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I just, you know, it's been rougher than the first few starts went, and I think it's, you know, kind of a bit of regression. You know, the strikeouts are still decent, like, you know, all close to a batter per nine. And I'm trying to look for the percentages here. Yeah. So it was, you know, it stuck around 23%, which isn't bad, and I think kind of what do you expect. It was a 10.3% walk rate as opposed to an 8% walk rate in May, which is kind of what it has gotten him. You know, I think that is kind of the difference there, right? He has sort of performed better than what like the FIP and XFIP would say, but that probably has to do with those walks there.
Let me throw some questions at you, Steve. Gavin Williams rostered at the same clip right now as Tanner Bibee. Would you drop Bibee for Gavin Williams?
I would. I like Gavin Williams stuff better. Yes.
Yeah, and kind of the unknown is more exciting at this point.
Probably true. Yes.
Yeah. Also true. Yeah. Okay. And then we talked about Reed Detmers and Ranger Suarez. Would you drop Tanner Bibee for either one of those guys?
Yes, I would. I'd rather have both of them, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think I agree. On the list, since we got it up, Bybee is SP52. Gavin Williams is 61, but that might change after this week. Reed Detmers is at 60, and Ranger Suarez is at 64. So Nick still has Bybee a little bit higher.
Choose your own adventure there, but I think there'll be some movement the next few updates that'll lean towards what we're advising here.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right. I think that rounds us out, man. I mean, I'm excited to get into Underdog next week.
Yeah, let's draft. It's draft season again.
Yeah, I you know, it's bizarre that it's like such a small roster, but also I think that like kind of makes
it's appealing.
Like, yeah, more yeah. appealing that it's just truly we'll, taking. We'll be like, done the with
it. It's a quick draft too. It's 30-second round picks, so 30-second pick timer. So yeah, it's a quick draft, which is
probably
great.
Be done in like an hour and a half.
Yep, tops, I think yeah. that's what Adam said. He recently did one. So
nice. Yeah. So yeah, again for that, you guys just reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at @van_verified and Steve is at @stav8818. If you guys want to send us a message, next Wednesday, July 5th, we'll be doing that draft. And if you DM us, we'll kind of announce when we all go into the draft room so that hopefully we can get paired up in the same league and cover the draft and everything on the next podcast. It's kind of a mid-season draft. It should be a lot of fun, but that wraps us up for episode 106, talking June standouts and some underdog fantasy prep. As always, guys, thanks for talking baseball with us.
Thanks, guys. Later.